Good morning. I'm Tom Pelton of the Environmental Integrity Project. We're a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C. and Austin, Texas, that is dedicated to enforcing environmental laws and strengthening policy to protect public health in the environment. Today, we're having an online press conference with the Houston Health Department and Air Alliance Houston to discuss the release of the Environmental Integrity Project's new report, Increase in Houston Ozone Violations Hits Communities of Color Hardest. You can find the report at www.environmentalintegrity.org. We will have three speakers today, and then we'll take questions from reporters. The first speaker is Eric Schaefer, Executive Director of the Environmental Integrity Project and former Director of Civil Enforcement at EPA. Then we'll have Dr. Inyang Uwak, Research and Policy Director at Air Alliance Houston. And finally, we'll have Dr. Lauren Hopkins, Chief Environmental Science Officer for the Houston Health Department. So first, let's start off with Eric Schaefer. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us. We are here today to talk about ozone in the greater Houston area, and in particular about the outsized impact that it has had and is having on communities of color. So I think everyone on this call knows that you had a scorching summer in Houston, this area. Ozone levels through the end of September reached, it got to very high concentrations. And there were a total of 55 days in the greater Houston area when one or more of the air quality monitors measured ozone concentrations above the federal health-based standards. So pretty bad year. I think that's the most days of ozone violations that Houston has seen since 2011. So bad year, lots of hot weather, but we're also here to remind you that it's not hot weather by itself that creates ozone, of course. It's high temperatures and sunlight combined with emissions of volatile chemicals and nitrogen oxide, which react in the atmosphere to form ozone. Hot weather will dry it up, but without the emissions for the sunlight and high temperatures to drive into the reactions that they have, you don't get ozone. So pollution obviously is a big part of the equation. Now, the bad air quality in the Houston area affected everyone. But again, we wanted to see when we looked at the data, looking at all 36 of the monitors that the state, the county, and the city manage in the greater Houston area, whether there were hot spots where ozone levels were the highest and high ozone levels were more persistent, and to see whether those had a disproportionate impact on communities of color and low-income households. So before sharing our findings, which you can see in our report online, I need to lay a little bit of groundwork. So ozone, popularly known as smog, is formed when nitrogen oxide and volatile chemicals react in sunlight and high temperature and split off. O3 is the chemical designation that is ozone. But that reaction is depends on the hot weather, but also nitrogen oxides and volatile chemical emissions. You got plenty of both in the Houston area. According to EPA, I think also people on the call know, the high ozone levels make it harder to breathe. They trigger asthma attacks. They contribute to other respiratory symptoms. There's evidence that they play a role in heart disease and premature death. So too much ozone is a bad thing. A very bad thing. The elderly and young children are particularly vulnerable. So sometimes you'll see, health-based standards that are based on occupational exposures among adults working in a factory, let's say. You've got a lot of sensitive populations, two-year-old kids, your 75 or 80-year-old grandparent who is more susceptible to air pollution in general and to ozone in particular. So there are two federal air quality standards for ozone that matter now. One of them set up by the Bush administration in 2008 is meant to hold 8-hour concentrations of ozone at or below 75 parts per billion. A few years later, the Obama administration, after reviewing additional scientific evidence and consulting with the scientists who advise the Environmental Protection Agency, adopted a more stringent ozone limit that's supposed to keep ozone at 70 parts per billion or below. Both those standards are in effect, and it can be confusing if if your ozone is at 76 parts per billion, for example, you're violating both standards. If it's 72 parts per billion, well, that's a little better, but you're still violating the 2015 standard. So to determine compliance, what the agency does and the states that run these programs do is look at the fourth highest ozone level in a particular year, and then they look at the fourth highest in the next 2 years, and then they average those fourth highest ozone days across the three-year period. If you bust either 70 or 75 parts per billion based on that average, you are in violation of the air quality standards. So it's a little wonky, but that's how they do it. And I'll be referring to violations of that standard later. To look at ozone hotspots, as I mentioned, we looked at data not just for 2023, but going back in time for more than 30 air quality monitoring stations that track ozone by the hour across the greater Houston area. We then looked at the demographics, the characteristics of the population that lives within 3 miles of these monitors to figure out whether the areas with the worst ozone levels were more likely to hit communities of color and low-income households harder. And here's what we found. So with the first map, you'll see the worst days recorded in 2023, and we're talking now about communities or the monitoring stations that recorded ozone levels of 100 parts per billion or higher on a given day. That's very extreme. We're in the, you may have heard of code purple. When you get those warnings, that means, it kind of means don't go outside or minimize your outside activity. It gets up to the highest levels and the most dangerous levels. So the communities that hit those thresholds, and they're listed here in the report, you can see that there were six of them that exceeded 100 parts per billion at some point in the year. Four of them, more than 90% people of color, primarily Latino, but with significant African American neighborhoods at some locations. And at all four of these monitors, the population within 3 miles is also at least half or close to half or a little more than half in low-income households. Low-income is defined as no more than twice the poverty level. The statewide average is about 35% of Harris County low-income households. It's about the same as the statewide average. We're seeing more like 50% in these ozone hotspots measured by the worst days in 2023. We also show that you can see the dotted lines give you both the statewide and the Harris County average for people of color as a percentage of the population. So 73% of the population in Harris County, Latino, African American, Asian American, but in the areas with the worst ozone in 2023, four out of six of those areas, more than 90% people of color. So that's disproportionate. These are also, again, more likely to have higher percentage of low-income households. If we can look at the second map, okay, it looks like we might have be having trouble posting, but the second map identifies, here we go, identifies 10 monitors that recorded the worst ozone levels based on those three-year averages I was talking about. So we wanted to look beyond this past summer, recognize it was really hot, especially hot, and look at the record over the past 3 years. And again, if you look at the monitors and the neighborhoods surrounding them with the highest ozone levels, and the ozone levels at all 10 of these monitors don't even meet the 2008 standard. They're all above 75 parts per billion. So pretty bad. And as you can see, and I won't read all the numbers in the chart, but five of these monitors, these locations, 90% or more people of color at those five locations, about half or more than half of the residents in the surrounding area, low income. You get three more monitors where the proportions are a little closer to the Harris County averages, but are still higher. You're looking at three quarters to nearly 80% of the people in the next three locations, people of color. I'll just quickly mention the Mandel Quad Park in Brazoria County had 68% of the residents within 3 miles, primarily Latinos, some African-Americans as well. The countywide average for Brazoria County, in terms of the people of color, the percentage of the population, Brazoria County is 55%. So even in Brazoria, at the monitoring location, there are significantly more people living close to that inner, very close to that ozone hotspot, than who are people of color, than you would see countywide, looking at their share of population. Houston, Harvard Street obviously is an exception here. So another point I want to make without a chart is just to note that at eight of these locations, the high ozone concentrations over the last 3 years are actually the same or worse than they were for the three-year period between 2008 and 2010. So either standing still or moving backward at both of these locations. The exceptions are Baylen Park, where we don't have monitoring data going that far, and Manville Quarry Park, where although the ozone levels are still way too high, they are lower than they were 15 years ago. But for the other eight locations, no progress. So high proportion, disproportionate share of the population, people of color, disproportionate share of low-income households within the areas that have the highest three-year average ozone levels, and also in the areas that have not seen those ozone levels improve in the last 15 years. We can go to the map so you can see where these places are, and they are spread around the area. And this is the these are the 10 locations that are blowing the 75 part per billion limit. These are the 10 locations with the worst three-year ozone averages in the Houston area. And the numbers tell the story. I don't need to read them aloud, but I did want to draw your attention to the four of the monitors that are kind of in the approaches to or within the Houston Ship Channel, which is packed with petrochemical plants: Hayden Road, Houston East, Clinton, Park Place. Galena Park is one of the neighborhoods in those areas. Again, all four of these, more than 90% people of color, also disproportionately low income. If we can see the closer in map, which is the last exhibit, you can see here that you are looking at the areas in the kind of industrial heart of the eastern part of Houston, lots of petrochemical plants. You can't quite see them, but you know, if you see the kind of grayer areas where there aren't streets, those are plants. Those aren't parks or wetlands. Those are industrial properties, refineries, chemical plants. The reason all this matters is those sources are driving the ozone spikes in these neighborhoods in particular, in Houston generally, but especially in these neighborhoods. And the reason that's happening, based on research the state's done and EPA has done and other agencies have done, is that these petrochemical plants release a lot of highly reactive, volatile chemicals. These are chemicals that make ozone a lot faster than some of the other volatile chemicals that are released. Examples include ethylene and formaldehyde, which I think Dr. Hopkins is going to say something about. So Texas has some regulation of these, what I've heard called ozone precursors on steroids, because they're so good at making ozone. They have some regulations, but they don't cover the full suite of these highly reactive volatiles. So they're picking out a few and have supposedly some more stringent standards for a subset of these, the worst of these chemicals, but they're not covering all of them by a long shot. And I think the second problem, and it's a big one, is that the emissions are underreported by a large amount. The last estimate I saw is that what these companies report as their emissions of these highly reactive volatile chemicals is about an order of magnitude lower than what they are actually releasing to the environment. This is a problem that's plagued Houston for a long time. But solutions, if we want to turn to those, one of them obviously is to crack down on the highly reactive chemicals that are driving the ozone problem in the Houston area, especially in this neighborhood. Tighter limits for permits. The state has been busy permitting new petrochemical plants and has permitted within the last several years petrochemical expansions that would add about 12,000 tons of additional volatile chemicals in terms of the emissions that would be allowed in the area. I don't know what proportion of that are the highly reactive volatiles, but it would be a significant portion. So continuing to permit emissions growth in the area in the face of these really high ozone numbers, pretty disturbing. The limits need to tighten. We need some enforcement by EPA. EPA can come in, and if these companies in these hotspots are underreporting emissions that are causing the ozone levels to be so high and so unsafe, EPA can take enforcement action. So we're asking for some oversight there. And the last thing I want to mention is it's really kind of a hope and a prayer is that somehow, someday, Harris County can be given the responsibility for managing air quality in the county, or alternatively, we could have a regional air pollution control authority that does it for the greater Houston area. I think in having that local regulatory power, the ability to set permit limits and to enforce them, could go a long way. This has been done in other states. I think we mentioned South Coast in the greater Los Angeles metropolitan area is the agency that runs the permitting program in those jurisdictions. They permit refineries. They write the rules that limit the amount of volatile emissions you can release and get away with. But you can see them in Louisville Air Pollution Control District in Kentucky. There's another example. Puget Sound has an air pollution district for the greater Seattle area. So it has been done. This is not a wild idea. And I appreciate that expecting Texas to give authority to Harris County to basically manage air quality and get a better result than we've seen Texas get is a long shot. I mean, it I still believe in Santa Claus, but I understand we may not get there. I would hope there'd be some public pressure on the legislature to make that decision. The problem with the state is it spends too much time fighting EPA, looking for opportunities to battle the agency and get some press on it. You can look at the governor's latest letter complaining about EPA's implementation of the 2015 standard, and you can see a lot of concern about industry, no mention of public health at all. You've got a state legislature that in this incredibly hot summer thought it was really important to prohibit Harris County and other counties from requiring companies to give outdoor workers working in extreme heat a water break. So they actually kept the county from doing that. I mean, that's just, you know, that kind of thing leaves you a little bit speechless. But, you know, the state's message to EPA, and this has been true for years, is let Texas be Texas. Okay, that is, you see that everywhere. I think you've got t-shirts and bumper stickers that say that. And we're suggesting, well, let Harris County be Harris County, at least when it comes to managing air quality inside, you know, inside its own jurisdiction. With that, I thank you for listening, and we'll be happy to answer questions.